Good morning, everybody. Third Sunday in Advent. We're getting there. What is it today?
Joy.
Hey! Joy. Well done, Steve. He's been practicing all morning. We will spread that joy. And for those who participate in the tradition of lighting candles, we think about the shepherds and their joyful anticipation as they journeyed to Bethlehem to see the baby in a manger, Jesus. And as we continue to approach Christmas Day, 11 sleeps. Come on, 11 sleeps. Yay! That's right, yes. I wrote down, our joy grows more and more. My joy grows as I tick off the services. Carol services, hump service, and then we get less. So this morning, as I started on Thursday, we'll continue to grow and glow. We want to outshine, make a difference wherever life takes us. And so as we come to worship, rejoice in the Lord always. Shout out his name, for God is with us. Our God is with us, the God of our salvation, in whom alone we trust. Rejoice in the Lord always. Shout out his name, for God is our Father. He draws us home by streams of living water where we shall thirst no more. Rejoice in the Lord always. Shout out his name. He knows our thoughts, understands our hearts, and enables us to become the people that we were meant to be. Amen. And so we'll come and we'll sing number 491. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. It's like when you get to verse 4, wait for it. 11 sleeps. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, you came so that we might know that we are yours by choice. Loved, embraced, saved by your love and grace. Welcomed to your family and precious in your sight. You came so that we might be made complete, all we were ever meant to be. You came as a shepherd, seeking every sheep that is lost, so you might bring them home. And beyond even the cruel cross, you are still Saviour, Messiah, to all who would need and heed your call. O God, our loving Father, help us to rightly remember the birth of Jesus, that we may share in the song of the angels, the joy of the shepherds, and the worship of the wise men. Close the door of hate and open the door of love all over the world. We pray that God would wake us up to injustice and lead us to live as people of the light. Loving Father, you sent your Son to bring joy to the world. As we await his coming, fill our hearts with joy. Help us to rejoice in your presence. Help us to be an Advent people by preparing the way for Jesus, reaching out to those in need, and sharing love and light with others. Help us to share joy with others and to spread the good news of salvation. In your precious name, amen. And let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So let's join together and sing number 697, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. Long before Jesus was born, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah to tell how he would spread the news of the coming of his Messiah. This is what God said through Isaiah. I will send my messenger to prepare the way. He will be a voice of one crying in the desert. Prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Basically, clear the road for him. And so as we continue through John chapter 1, I'll ask Debbie if she'll come and give us our readings.
The reading is John 1, verses 6 to 8, and then 19 to 34. And it can be found on the Pew Bible, 1063. 1063. So I'm starting at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. And then verse 19. John the Baptist denies being the Messiah. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you a prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those that sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who'd sent him questioned him, why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And John replied, I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. John testifies about Jesus. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.
Going to have a few Johns going on this morning. John the disciple and John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the messenger that God chose to bring the good news to his people. John was a very unusual man who wore clothes made of camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, traditional wear for somebody that was in the wandering in the desert speaking the words of the Lord. His food was locusts and wild honey. John travelled in the desert preaching that people should repent of their sins and turn to God. It's not a word we hear very often in church, is it? Repent. To tell God what we know we have done wrong, but the crucial bit is to stop doing it. When people listening to John the Baptist confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. He was very popular and had a great following, but he always told the people about Jesus. Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. And so as we think more about that, let's sing number 790, and we'll sing it through twice. Let's pray. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the waiting, the watching, the hoping, the longing, the sorrow, the sighing, the rejoicing. Speak to us by your word in these Advent days, and walk with us until the day of your coming. Amen. So we're thinking about how we can grow and glow. Some of us are glowing nicely in our Christmas jumpers. I think of John the Baptist is probably one of the Bible characters I would love to have met, and I look forward to meeting him in heaven. I think he might be dressed slightly differently. I think the description of him makes him unique in his appearance. I think you would probably be able to spot him in a crowd. I often talk about The Chosen, the program that depicts Jesus' life and ministry. And they depict John the Baptist quite well, actually. Yes, he had the crazy hair and the sackcloth, but he had that burning enthusiasm to proclaim Christ no matter what, and he was not intimidated by the consequences. We know if we read the early part of Luke that his birth was miraculous. He was born of elderly parents, Elizabeth and Zachariah, who had never been able to have children. Although he doesn't call himself a prophet, many refer to him as the first prophet in 400 years. If you remember at the end of Malachi, there's 400 years before we get to Matthew, and John the Baptist is the first one to proclaim again the Messiah. John lived a simple life as he focused on the kingdom, the work that God had set out before him. We know that the disciple John, who wrote this gospel some 30 years after the other gospels, reminds us, as I said last week, these things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing have life in his name. So as we hear God's word to us this morning, let's be refreshed and inspired and experience newness of life in Jesus' name. And so what is the way to have that newness of life? You know that I often quote John 10:10. It's one of those verses that's been part of my faith journey. Jesus said the reason he came into the world was so that his sheep might have life in all its fullness. We read, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. The Greek word that's used here always points to something that exceeds its ordinary measure. It speaks of excess, of surplus, of overflowing. Jesus gives life that is more than just ordinary life. As we used to teach the girls, the Christian life is life to the full, overflowing with the grace of God. John tells us several times in his gospel that the way to have this life from Jesus is to believe in him. We have that, the well-known verse, John 3:16. But also John 5:24 says, truly, truly. Now, I always say if there's one truly, prick your ears up. But there's two trulies. So prick both your ears up and anything else that you can prick up. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. Did you get that? Already. It's not something we're waiting for. When you believe in Jesus, you already have passed from death to life. That life in abundance, that life overflowing is yours now. New life, more abundantly this morning, life that is more than the life that you have known before by believing in him. And those of us who perhaps need a spiritual recharge this morning of that abundant new life can be strengthened and empowered by these words this morning. Believe like you've never believed before. Because we really do need to, don't we? Because, you know, hope and joy and all the things that we talk about at Christmas need to expand beyond Christmas and into the year, new year and beyond. So as we go back to John 1 and specifically looking at the first verses 6 to 8, we read that God sent a man named John. We learn that John came for testimony to bear witness to the light. And about the second part of verse 7, the aim of his testimony was that all might believe. I love that. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. What an interesting introduction to John the Baptist. Why here? Why does John the disciple put that exactly here? It's almost unexpected, isn't it? It's interrupting the flow of his introduction, the big introduction to the light. Verse 5 is explaining about the light shining in the darkness and the darkness not overcoming it. And then he goes on to verse 9 that talks about the light coming into the world. And verses 6 to 8 seem like a bit of an interruption. Don't you think? Have you never thought about it before? The amount of times we've read that and heard it read to us, and it's just like, yeah, that's what it says. But actually, when you look at it, you think, well, I wouldn't have put that there. Especially as by the time we get to verse 19, he goes on about John for a few verses. But I think his intentions are clear from the beginning. That God's way of letting the light of Christ shine into the world is by human witness. God's way of pushing back the darkness is by human witness. Isn't that why we're told throughout the Bible to shine for Jesus? That's my abridged version of what the Bible says. Shine for Jesus. Now, God doesn't need us. He could have caused the light of Christ to spread in some other way. He could have done it with the angels. I mean, it worked at the nativity story, didn't it? Yeah? Yeah? He could have made creation itself testify, as we read in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. But instead, God chose to call and send humankind to bear witness to the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. God's plan is clear. As soon as the light was in the world, as soon as Jesus came, God prepared and sent a man together with the light to bear witness to the light. Again, Jesus didn't need John the Baptist to make him known. He could have managed that by himself. After all, he was the light of the world. But praise God, his wisdom decrees that his son should be heralded, announced, proclaimed by people that he sends. And that brings great joy to humanity and the greatest glory to God's Son. Can you see the implications in that for you and for me? Because we need to be alert to the possible call of God in our lives. That makes you swallow hard, doesn't it? If God sent a man named John, Matthew records in his gospel that all believers are to be light in the world. We read later on in the letters, all are called to witnesses to the light. But God still calls some in a special way and for special tasks. And Paul explains, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Now, we're not all called to be preachers, but we are all called to shine and to testify to the light. We need to be ready, as it says in 1 Peter, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So be alert to the call of God on your lives. But we also have to be ready to hear the testimony of others that are sent to us. Do you remember when we talked about how to hear God's voice, how to hear God speak? Because the other implication is that we should be ready and open to hear testimony from others who are sent to us. God intends to communicate with us not only through our own private prayer and Bible reading, but also through other people. Through preaching and teaching and through our sisters and brothers in Christ that God sends around us. That is why God calls and sends. And we must have our God ears open as he communicates through them. I love the implication, and you can insert your own name. There was a woman called Sharon sent from God. That's the implication of listening to God's call upon your life. Be ready and open to God's call on your life to send you to bear witness to the light, and be ready and open to recognize the word of God to us when it comes from others that God has sent to us. Because God's way of spreading the light of Christ is by human witness. And then John writes that John the Baptist came to bear witness to the light. Verse 7. God spoke to John and gave him a sign. John was a witness. We know from courtroom dramas that a witness is someone with some experience and knowledge that can help the truth of something that is in dispute. God had spoken to John in the wilderness about the coming Messiah, and his meeting with Jesus at the baptism gave him the experience he needed to be an authentic witness. We read at the end of the bits that Debbie read for us, "I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, and I have seen and borne witness that he is the Son of God.'" We recognize here that God had spoken to John earlier about the one who was coming, and then he gave him a sign to let him know that Jesus was this one. From then on, John bore his testimony to Jesus faithfully until he was put to death for his witness. Jesus says of John's witness, "He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light." That's later on in John 5, in case you're looking for it. A faithful witness to the gospel burns with enthusiasm and shines in the light of truth. And John the Baptist had both of those, and he is a great example for us. In our second passage, we learn more about the light of truth. Here was the light of truth in his witness. God showed John many magnificent things about Jesus. Starting at verse 23, "He is the Lord." John identifies himself as the voice crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." We know that he's been quoting Isaiah, and here Isaiah 40, the Lord references to God himself. And so that's amazing, because John is applying that to Jesus. In verse 27, "Jesus is so great, John is not worthy to untie the straps of his sandals." In verse 29, "Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Here we find that Jesus fulfills the symbolism of the Passover lamb throughout the Old Testament, and particularly again by looking at Isaiah 53. And verse 33, "Jesus is the one who is going to baptize his people with the Holy Spirit." He pours out his Spirit. He is the source of the Spirit. And in verse 34, "Jesus is the Son of God." John testifies and witnesses, and this consolidates with Jesus being called the Lord. And so we get the warmth of enthusiasm. Not only is his witness a bright beacon of truth, it's also burning enthusiasm. I'm looking around, I'm not seeing burning, and I'm certainly not seeing enthusiasm. John's life, as well as his message, was a faithful testimony to the truth. And we see it, don't we, through his simplicity. We know that John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, but he had lived in the wilderness for years. He dressed in simple clothes. He ate honey and locusts. His whole life stood against the luxuries of the day. which that actually gave him tremendous power in his message when he said to the multitudes, "He who has two coats, let him share with him who has none." We see John's humility. In a way, his role was a bit tragic. The last prophet before the Lord and killed for it, while the Christian movement he served was just getting started. But John himself said in John 3, "He must increase, but I must decrease." What a humble testimony. And then we see John's courage. John the Baptist held to his message of righteousness to the end, and it cost him his life. Dare we speak out with such boldness? Jesus said there wasn't a greater man who ever lived. So as we read those three short verses, in verse 6, God sent a man named John. It is God's way to spread his light by using people. And then in verse 7, John came to testimony to bear witness to the light. And the final part, verse 7b, that we would believe through him, not on him. The aim of John's testimony was that we all believe on Jesus. John's whole life pointed to the truth and the worth of the one that was to come after him, Jesus. God sent him so that we would believe in Jesus. John witnessed to the truth so that we would believe in Jesus. John burned with enthusiasm so that, guess what? We would believe in Jesus. John the disciple tells us his gospel was written so that we would believe in Jesus. You're getting there, you're warming up. And that's my prayer for all of us this Advent, either for the first time or for a refreshing of whom Jesus is to us, that we would have the grace to believe on Jesus and have the eternal life that is promised through Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Prayer by Sarah Martin. Father, just as you sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus, help us to clear the path in our hearts too. Show us the distractions in our lives that block us from all-out worship of you this Advent. Lord, we await your coming. As we celebrate the first Advent, the first coming, we look forward to the day when we will see you face to face. We can only but imagine what it will be like. Give us hearts, Lord, that look for your coming on a daily basis. Help us to live our lives where we constantly seek in your presence. We offer our lives today righteous, made clean only because of the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Show us today how we need to be refined, purified, forgiven. Give us the strength to ask for forgiveness and then to change our ways. May we shine as your witnesses so that all the glory goes to you alone. Amen. And so we'll join together and sing 189. God is working his purpose out.
Thank you.
Let's pray. By the tender mercy of our God, love has broken upon us. Light is given where once there was darkness, and hope where there was only death. We continue in this season knowing that God will guide our feet into the way of joy, of peace, and hope. Amen.